Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Episode 109. Welcome to Super Mega Cast.
That's right.
Back with a hot new episode. Well, if you're listening to this in like 2022, then it's not hot and new anymore, but it is.
Well,
still...
I mean, if it's your first time listening to it, it still is because this is a podcast you haven't heard before.
So it's hot and new to you. It's, yeah. But to us, and if this is like your third time listening, it's not hot and new anymore.
Yeah. But how many people have been with us the whole way? How many people have seen every episode of the podcast?
At least one, because there was one subscriber in the beginning. So
sweet.
Someone has. Somebody was the first subscriber, and the second and third.
I wonder what it would be like. I wonder if there's any progression in just the banter and the comedy and everything. If I listen to the first episode and listen to a recent episode, if I'll notice like a big change.
I think there is. I think like. I don't know. I listened back to an old episode recently. I think when we were new, I think we were a lot edgier. We got that edge in because, you know, good old 2016 epic edginess.
Yeah.
And then now I think we're a little more chill.
Before that, remember, there was Lol Random. You know, comedy went in stages on the internet.
Yeah.
I definitely have my fair share of cringy Lol Random.
Oh, and I have that, and I have my fair share of cringy edgy.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Got it all under the belt.
Yeah.
Now.
So, but now we have
whatever this will be known as.
Weathered down. So that's
we got watered down podcast episode 109. But yeah, last week we had past two episodes we've actually had some good guests on. We had Ian from Smosh. Last week we had our friends Jackson Harrison. Jackson's the guy that runs our social media.
Now it's back to us.
It's just the two boys for
just
the first
us,
time in
baby.
A couple weeks. Yeah.
So you get that classic Matt and Ryan banter that y'all are looking for.
Been craving it.
Yeah, I was about to say crave, but then I stopped myself because I'm like, are people? Yeah, people. Some people crave
they,
it.
They so desire it.
You think on podcast days, a lot of people are just like, oh, come on.
Come on.
And then when they see it like pop up, is it this moment of, oh, a new video? Like when I was young, when I saw like Food Battle 2011 or
Fred?
Whatever come out. Dude, Fred. I got excited for Fred.
Fred goes swimming. I fucking loved Fred.
Dude, I laughed my ass off. There's this one video where he's just talking about his medication.
Yeah, dude, Fred loses his meds. I remember this shit.
Yep, okay.
I got it all up here, man.
You know what
I'm
talking about.
Sometimes when I'm laying in bed or I'm in traffic and I'm bored, I just rewatch old Fred videos in my head. I love it, dude.
What
other
one? There's this like other guy. He was in kind of the same category as Fred. His channel was like Make Me Bad
35.
Yeah. He had like the same kind
bowl
of like,
cut.
Yeah,
the it was bowl really tan. Cut.
And he was super edgy though.
He was.
I don't know what he does now, but I remember laughing a lot at his stuff.
He did a very Lol Random music video, I remember, and I thought it was like the funniest thing when I was a kid.
I mean, that was the that's what made us laugh. We were kids, and like, I'm not just that, but like, that's just where we were in our humor.
That's where we were, man.
Humor's a journey, man.
It evolves, man. It evolves. It really does. But speaking of evolution, not real. Just want to throw that out there. On the last podcast, we established that the Earth was flat. This one, I just want to establish evolution. Bullshit is not real. Never happened. It's absolutely fake.
I mean, we don't have tails. Where'd our tails go?
Exactly. You think we just evolved from monkeys? Then why are there still monkeys?
Yeah.
Checkmate.
Doesn't make sense.
Ryan, you just got back from the beautiful land of Canada.
Yeah.
You went to the Toronto.
The land of milk and honey.
Land of milk and honey. The Toronto International Film Festival.
Not at all. Anyways.
It's the land of ice and bears and...
Is that really?
It's icy and there's a lot of bears.
Where I went, it was just the land of rainy city and the land of hot city. So, you know, yeah. It was a city. It was a city. I like the vibe. I love how they handle food in Canada. They bring the machine right up to your table so they don't have to go take your card away or anything.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
All the waitresses have like a little machine with them and they go boop everywhere you go.
Do you have to tip in Canada?
I mean, you still tip. Yeah.
Yeah. Because,
yeah.
I know most countries just don't do the whole tipping thing. They just pay the employees more.
Well, if you do it in, like, an Asian country, it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
In a sense, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Or I don't know if that's just, like, a...
In a culture, other culture like this.
I don't know if that's, like, one of those
that
a lot of people like me do.
I had a friend in Korea, and he tipped, and then, like, he left, and, like, the waitress ran out in the streets after him to, like, give the money back.
Because he's like, you left your money.
Yeah, she thought he just left his money on the table. He's like, no, it's for you. And then I think she, like, got kind of offended that he was just, like, trying to... I think it's, like, seen as, like, belittling.
It's just like, oh, it looks like you need it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you did a real good job.
Yeah, like one of those things. Okay, I could see that.
I like countries without tipping. It's very convenient.
It is.
And like I know how much the meal is, and then I don't have to add like extra dollars on at the end.
Yeah,
but, you know.
But some people who know how to socially manipulate their environments, they work really well in that world of tipping.
They do.
Like that's what I was noticing. I was just like, one night I was just looking at it, and I was noticing how empty I felt in a conversation with a waitress. Because in my head, I'm
Ryan
like,
from Super Mega.
Like everyone's just smiling. It's like. Oh, yeah, that's all. They're so interested in what you have to say or like, anything you say.
They're working for that tip.
Like, I'll have the steak. Oh, how would you like that cooked? Medium rare. That's awesome. Okay.
It's almost like a performance job in a way, you know?
Yeah, and like I realized that, and I'm like, my tipping now is like, oh, that was a good performance. And like,
yeah,
I mean, you
get
also,
a big one.
You also filled my water, which was nice. That's the main thing I look after. If I pay attention to anything, it's how often they'll fill my water. Because I drink water fast when I eat.
Oh, yeah. But have you ever been to those restaurants where they fill your water? Like, you take like one sip and they come back and fill it. And you take like another sip and they come back and fill
it. That's a dream for me. Just always keep my cup filled, man.
You can just go to a restaurant that's got a leaky ceiling and just sit directly under the leak. So it's just constantly filling your cup up.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to keep up drinking because it'll overflow.
I do like Canadian money.
It's so cool. It's like plasticky and colorful and has the little clear spot.
Legitimately smells.
Smells like maple syrup.
Like they did that on purpose. That's not just like a, ooh, it smells like maple. Like it does. 100%.
I've smelled it, and it smelled like maple syrup, and then I said that once, and people were like, no, it doesn't, it doesn't.
It
I'm
does.
Like, yes, it does.
My wallet sleeve smelled like maple syrup.
I remember
like I was like, yes, that is maple syrup. I went into this very bias of, there's no way, it was just some stupid thing. No, 100%.
Smells like a dang International House of Pancakes.
That's just how it is. That's just how the fucking world is. I'm sorry, Canadian money smells
it
like
smells
maple
like
syrup.
It smells like maple syrup.
If you've got a problem with it,
that's on you, man.
Like,
you
just
got
a fucking fact. If anyone denies that it smells like maple syrup,
it smells
syrup,
like maple syrup. It smells
lying.
Like you tapped straight into a maple tree.
That's like saying ice isn't a solid form of H2O. It's just a lie.
Exactly. I remember our old channel artist, Foolish Captain Kia. She's from Canada. She stayed with us once, and she gave me some Canadian money to smell. She smelled like maple syrup to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a placebo. I sniffed that thing.
But she's from that French part.
She's
Canada.
From the...
She's
the,
like in that Frenchy part.
Yeah, the... Which part? Montreal? She from
Montreal? Or Quebec. Whatever Frenchy part.
Quebec? It's Quebec, right?
Cubic.
Oh, okay. Cubic, yeah.
No.
Cuba. Man, I would love to go to Cuba. That's like a definitely up there on my travel list. And the thing is, well, hello.
fuck both of you.
What did Matt do?
What
did you do, Matt?
I don't know. I don't know what
I
did to Tucker.
But I figured that was just kind of like a brain lapse on his part.
He probably meant just to say, like, fuck you to me. And
yeah.
He saw both of us and he didn't want to make you feel excluded.
Exactly.
So he said, fuck you to
exactly.
both of you.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
That was nice of him.
Yeah.
I wonder what if that was real? Like, Tucker's actually just furious at us. It's classic. Classic Tucker, man. Coming in and yelling extremities on the podcast. Obscenities, not extremities. Extremities is...
Your extremities.
Yeah, extremities. Like your legs and arms, right? Mm-hmm. I got my words confused.
It's fine.
It's been a rough morning, dude. I had to drive very far to Culver City and back and stuck in some traffic. It was crazy, dude.
Is it too inappropriate to say that I feel like an Iraq veteran going off to war when I leave Lego behind?
At your house?
Yeah, I feel just like when I feel. I feel like I have a kindred spirit with that type of mentality. Like I'm leaving behind my loved ones for the big fight.
Maybe... I mean,
for the big Game Grumps fight.
I mean, I think there's a lot of other things you could compare it to that's not like Iraq veterans, but.
It's like Vietnam veterans, then.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to.
Because they went off into this war zone of like uncertainty, of like.
You're just going to work to edit Game Grumps videos.
Yeah, but like it's like a battlefield.
You're not walking into a field with landmines and people with guns.
Okay. I mean. To each their own. And for those wondering, that was a bit on my part. I really don't want that misconstrued for me actually
that
thinking.
Ryan compares himself to Iraq war veterans when he leaves his dog in the morning at home to go to work.
Like,
I salute you, Ryan.
I don't know. I just figure there's going to be one person out there that, like, really thinks I'm this, like, unforgivable piece of shit. And I just wanted to make it clear to that one person.
This Let's Player just compared himself to Iraq war veterans. Also, you know,
veteran John Stamos.
I make a lot of, like, you know, on the show we do a lot of bits where I guess we say them too seriously because people don't realize they're bits. Because
well, then we don't cut to like in comedy the whole thing is like build up that type of thing, and then there's a release.
Yeah, I guess
there's
we don't
no
do the
release. We don't. There's no release bit to our stuff, so it ends up of us just going, okay, now to be real, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. I definitely do not think of myself as having the same mentality or honor or whatever you want to call it as an Iraq war veteran going off to war when I leave my pooch in the morning to go sit and edit Let's Plays.
It's my favorite word, dude. I love the word pooch.
It's
so
a good word.
Me. It's great.
You called Lego that all the time. And like
it's just a big goofy pooch.
You know
pooch.
How like certain things, I think we talked about this before, you know how when you hang out with people, they kind of mold you in a way. You're still you, but little things start to happen. Like, I'll use the word pooch now a lot more.
It's the best word to describe your dog, for sure. Like, I don't think there's any better word to describe Lego than just a big pooch, you know? I don't know why I love that word so much. I just think it's like...
Because pooch describes Lego perfectly. He's just a big, goofy man.
Oh, man,
pooch.
Dude.
Look at this pooch. I'll show you a cute picture of this pooch. Look at him.
Oh, you see? That's a cute pooch. Oh, my God. What I was saying earlier was... people with the bits, there's a musical artist named Temperex, and he listens to Super Mega, and
he's cool?
He's very cool. I like him a lot, but apparently on some episode I just casually mentioned, like, yeah, John Goodman, he's a big supporter of the podcast. He donates, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to support Super Mega, and he just totally thought it was real.
Wait, really?
And then when we talked for the first time, he was like, that's so cool. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, the John Goodman thing. I was like, that's not real. That was a bit. And he's like, you said it's so real. And I was like,
the podcast is a mishmash of this fake universe we've created and our real lives.
It's up to you guys to decide what's real.
It is. It really is. But I really did go to Canada to Toronto International Film Festival, which was fantastic.
Fan
so a lot of good movies.
Best movie you saw. Give us your review before it's even.
I don't
want to
get the name wrong. I just call it.
If Beale Street could talk.
Yeah, if Beale Street could talk, I just call it. Beale Street,
the Barry Jenkins director.
Yeah, really good film. That was my favorite film that I saw when I was there. Other good films that I saw while I was there, The Man Who Feels No Pain. It's an Indian film, really fun.
It's just he just whacks his hand with a hammer and goes, I didn't even feel it. And then he punched himself in the face. Didn't feel that one either.
Yeah,
whole movie.
It's a big like comedic montage to like kung fu movies and all that type of stuff.
But he just hits himself a bunch.
Oh yeah,
doesn't feel any pain.
No, he doesn't feel any pain. Like that means that he can't feel thirst.
Whoa.
Or he can't feel the pain of an orgasm, if that makes sense.
Pain of an orgasm?
Because you know how, like, the whole orgasm thing is, like, it hurts so good, in a sense. And, I mean, it's not painful, but he doesn't
Do you have painful orgasms?
No, no, no. What I'm saying is what I'm trying to get to is he doesn't experience the feeling he experiences. He can feel the cum pushing through his urethra, but he can't feel the...
To put it in simple terms.
I mean, that's what it is. He just can't feel shit. And, it's a crutch in that way, because he can, like, not know he's dehydrated and just pass out from dehydration and shit.
I think that's real. I remember reading about people like that, and, like,
you just told us to look it up in Google during the movie.
Or people also... Google it later. People that don't feel fear.
Ooh, wow.
Like, and they can, like, they'll just do anything. Like, they'll just, like, stay on top of a train and not be scared, or, like, which is very detrimental to you, because, you know, fear exists, so you need to help you survive. Yeah, exactly.
But other movies, Boy Erased was good. Like Boy Erased, and I really enjoyed what is it called? Float Like a Butterfly. Yeah, Float Like a Butterfly. It's an Irish or Scottish film. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I'm a bad person. It takes place in the 60s, and it's about the relationship this girl has with, like, her community and her father and all this other stuff, and, like, her mother. Like, I don't want to give too much away, but
I think I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah.
Do you know when Beale Street comes out in theaters?
October, probably.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Barry Jenkins. He directed Moonlight, and he's a fantastic director. And Moonlight's a fantastic movie, so I'm excited to see what he did next.
Moonlight is better than Beale Street.
Okay.
But Beale Street is still, like, when you watch it, it's like, this is a well-crafted film.
Ooh.
Like, he did, like, he and this, you know, those in sound design and those in, like, who did set design and costume design, they all did a very stellar job.
Trailer looked great. And in movies in the vein of Moonlight, I saw two recently, part of the gay cinema canon. I saw Call Me By Your Name and I saw Happy Together, which is that Wong Kar-wai Hong Kong movie, about the two Chinese guys in Argentina. And it's real good. I would definitely recommend both of those movies. Okay. Call Me By Your Name, super good. I cried. Happy Together, I also cried. Great movie. So definitely recommend both of those.
There are a lot of gay films at Toronto. There's one that I saw called Pape Chulo. I think it's about this weatherman that has a breakdown, and he hires this Mexican guy to do work on his house. But, like, they start forming, like, not like a actual bond. It's just this weird bond thing. It's a comedy, though.
It's a comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be, like, a really, like, sad, like...
I mean, it's sad in bits, but, like, at the base, it's a comedy.
Dude, maybe I just haven't seen enough, like, gay cinema, but every gay movie I've seen is so tragic and just so sad.
Well, that stems out of the AIDS epidemic era, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people that lived through that saw, like, their idols and heroes fall. Like,
I think
Freddie Mercury fell.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, people in the community that... were tragically taken away, and that were idols in terms of, like, standing up for that community.
Yeah,
and as representation, and they kind of, like, unfortunately pittered off.
Yeah,
because of just such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful AIDS, man.
You heard it here first, folks. Ryan McGee quoted, "AIDS is wonderful." No, but
that's sarcasm for those
holy
who can't
shit
sniff it.
AIDS is no fucking joke. I watched Pose, that really good show, and that's about AIDS. And
holy
that
shit.
So sad.
I started watching that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. I finished the first season.
That, and I've only seen the first two or three episodes.
Really good. It's fantastic.
I did not know that one of the, Kate Mara and the kid that was started off in, like, American Horror Story, that's where people know him from.
Oh, I haven't even seen American Horror Story.
He plays the straight... Okay, I don't want... Well, not really. He plays the white dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The main white guy, yeah.
Yeah. And then... Kate Mara is his wife.
Oh, yeah. It's great, though. The second season's coming out, like, next year or something. That's a, I think it's an FX show. Really good. Really good.
Yeah.
I guess while we're on the topic of this kind of stuff, I went and saw Conan, because Ninja Sex Party just played on Conan, and Conan is a known homosexual.
Yes.
Came
out on Ellen.
He did.
Back in 2003?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of those bits, because, like, we don't play it off like it's a joke. We just say it like it's fully normal. And then everyone's going to Google, like, is Conan gay?
But then for those who do the legwork, I don't know why we're making our audience do legwork.
They're supposed to like listen to a podcast just to relax, and we're like making them like, what? I gotta go look this up now. Like, they're just messing with me. It didn't even come off as a joke. What are they?
Oh, whatever. I just won't believe it.
I just realized they're not even bits. We're just gaslighting people.
Yeah,
we're just like effectively gaslighting people. Like when I said the podcast was in at 102, like I just gaslit a bunch of people into getting sad that the podcast was ending, which I apologize for if anyone actually got sad about that. It's not ending. Hence why we're at 109 right now.
Yeah.
My mom actually even thought that. My mom was like, really? So you're ending the podcast? And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you're ending at 102? I was like, no, that was a joke. It just like didn't come off as a joke. And I was like, I gotta really watch my tone with these jokes.
I think I remember my mom saying something like that. It's like, oh, so I heard y'all are ending the podcast. Is that really happening? I was like, no.
See, now it hits too close to home, because now our poor mothers have been tricked by our bits.
They don't know what's real anymore.
They don't even know what's real. We've fallen too far, haven't we?
They used to look after us every day, almost. Well, you every day, me every other week.
They've done so much for us, Ryan. They gave us nourishment from their bosom. They raised us. They put us through school. And now here we are gaslighting them into just ridiculous. They're not even things that matter. It's just like, Conan O'Brien's gay. It's just like ridiculous. It's misinformation. We're spreading misinformation.
I think it's because I get entertained out of the idea of like this stuff actually being our timeline. And so I just go along with it. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Conan's gay that. Came out on Ellen 2003, man.
I actually think
it would change a lot. Like, he would be a different figure. If that,
yeah, absolutely. Because then he would be like a big figure in the gay community,
yeah,
instead of just the late night talk show community.
And he's clean, it seems. So, you know,
he's great.
He's not going to be a Kevin Spacey for the gay community.
I don't think so. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I don't think the gay community is very happy with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, be a little more accepting. Come on.
Sorry, Kevin Spacey. I didn't mean to diss you. But like, Conan was great live. It was a very entertaining show, and you can actually get free tickets if you're in the LA area. I think you just got to like enter some lottery or something.
No,
or
I mean, like, it's like every studio audience. They just need to fill it. So it's usually like a sign up and then first come, first serve.
Yeah, if you're ever in LA, it's definitely something you should do. It's super fun. I got to walk around the Warner Brothers lot. And actually,
a good lot. Did you go to the, do they still have the Harry Potter Museum up?
No, I didn't go there. I was like walking around the back with somebody. Uh-huh. And then I did get to see the parking spot for the director of Young Sheldon. Ooh. And then I saw John Goodman's parking spot, and I took a picture in it. But the cool thing was, when we were leaving, because we went, Ross and I went to go see Ninja Sex Party play on Conan.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, one of the producer guys was like, you guys want to go on a quick tour? So he just took us on a little tour. We got to sit in Conan's seat, and that was super cool. It was water in his cup, not coffee.
Oh, really?
He had some water in his cup. He had a little, some
it's
notes he had
it's
written.
It's to keep the throat nice and moist.
Keep the throat moist. Yeah. And actually, what's really interesting is between commercial breaks, like before he goes back on the air, he'll like hype himself up, but he just does a bunch of weird like it looks like he's having like a seizure. And
wait,
he does
really?
That right until it comes back. Like, he'll do it like 5 seconds up until they're back, and he's like, welcome back.
Is that a bit, or does he actually
Does that. He does like these like little like spasms and stuff, I think, to hype himself up.
I wanna look at a video of him going, okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
But he's great. I think he's one of my favorite talk show hosts. He's very funny, very very cool, very chill. I didn't get to meet him, unfortunately. But I did get to see Burt Reynolds autograph on a chair backstage, and I had just seen Boogie Nights for the first time, which is a fucking great movie if you have not seen Boogie Nights. So you get to see Mark Wahlberg's like 20-inch penis at the end. Spoilers, sorry, I just spoiled the movie.
Whose penis?
Mark Wahlberg's 20-inch penis.
In what movie?
Boogie Nights.
Mark Wahlberg's in Boogie Nights?
It's the main character. It's Mark Wahlberg, Burt Reynolds.
Is his penis in it?
Well, his character, the whole thing is that he just has the biggest, nicest penis.
Mark Wahlberg wasn't in a movie with Burt Reynolds?
Boogie Nights. That was his like breakout role.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought his breakout role was
Boogie Nights, dude. He shows his penis at the end. Daddy's Home was Mark Wahlberg's breakout role.
Or Max Payne.
He pulls his penis out, and it's like 12 inches, and it's not actually his penis, it's a prosthetic. But that, you would love Boogie Nights. It's a great movie.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah. Julianne Moore.
He's famous because he's got a big penis in the movie.
Shit.
You would love it.
Louise is in it.
It's awesome.
Louise is in everything.
Louise? Oh, yeah. The guy from Narcos. Luis Guzman? Guzman?
John C. Reilly's in it?
Yeah, he's one of the main characters.
I love John C. Reilly.
You should watch it, man.
There's a movie coming out where he's playing like one of the old-timey like performers. Like, oh, what's it called? The thing about John C. Reilly is he can do comedy, drama, whatever. Like, he's really
good. And he has the same goofy voice in every role, but, like, he's really good at playing serious roles, too. Like Walk Hard. That was his best serious role.
It's called Stan and Ollie.
Ooh, I do love John C. Reilly. We both saw him at separate times. I saw him at the Steve Brule event I went to.
And I saw him drunk after the show that he
performed. I think he was drunk when he... I think he's drunk when he does the Steve Brule character.
I mean, that would be great.
I mean, that's probably how he does it so well, is he just gets drunk before he does Steve Brule. Hey!
And,
we're recording a podcast here!
Wait.
Sorry, the cops are here.
Are they?
Cops. Did you guys press a robbery alarm button?
No.
Where's a robbery alarm button?
Yeah, there's actually, like, three police here, like, apparently.
I didn't even touch the keypad.
There's a robbery alarm button?
Apparently a silent robbery alarm went off, and now there's three cops here.
Well,
would this be a good time to go out there with the fake gun we have?
That is a great idea. We could prank all the cops. Yeah, well, I don't know why, like, but every time someone's like, there's cops here, I'm just like, I just get like, wait, what, why? I'm like, they're here to arrest you, Matt.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are a few cops around my area yesterday. There were like three. I don't know why.
I saw a bunch of cops this weekend. I watched a building burn down.
Did you?
Yeah, in Glendale, a building just caught on fire, and I
insurance or
maybe it's like an old industrial building. It was going up in flames. I drove down to it because I could see it from afar, and I just kind of went up as close as I could get with a big crowd, and we just watched it burn down. It was crazy. They blocked off all the streets, so you could just walk in the street.
That's awesome.
A lot of firefighters spraying water.
Water ain't gonna do much there.
They sprayed water for like a long time. It takes a long time to put a fire out, even with a ton of water.
Yeah, think of how much oxygen versus water there is.
That's true. It's like a big fight back and forth.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It's absolutely crazy, man. And a lot of smoke in Glendale over the weekend. A lot of smoke, a lot of smog.
Yeah, I'm trying to quit. So
I'm sorry if this is making it worse. Making
no,
it harder.
No, it's fine. Am I trying to quit?
I don't juul anymore, guys.
I tell myself I try to quit, but I never do.
Pull that trigger, man.
What? There's cops here.
No, I mean, stop smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Get a vape, dude. I don't juul anymore. Get a
vape.
Juul, man.
Why would I get a fucking vape when I can get some fucking ballin' ass sneakers?
Ever wonder how to get the hottest new sneakers? The ones that barely hit shelves? The answer is StockX, a revolutionary new marketplace for buying and selling 100% authentic sneakers, streetwear, watches, and handbags.
Millions are already using StockX to find everything after it sells out, from the latest Yeezys to every retro Jordan to the hottest new streetwear from brands like Supreme,
Bape, Palace, and Kith.
Kith? I have not heard of that streetwear brand. I thought
maybe we'll have to go buy a bunch.
We might, yeah, with StockX. It even allows users to buy and sell pre-owned, excellent condition luxury handbags and watches for brands like Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Gucci, Rolex, Omega, Tudor. See, now I sound like an idiot because there's some of these brands I don't know, and I they're all hard to pronounce.
Tudor.
I'm just gonna say Tudor.
That's how you spell. Okay, well, Tudor is T U T O R.
I'm gonna say Tutter. Tutter. It's Tutter.
Yeah, whatever. You know what's awesome about StockX, Matt?
What?
It gives you access to tons of historical price data. See exactly how much an item has sold for in the past and how much it's selling for now.
Ooh! Best of all, StockX has removed all the risk from buying and selling online. Total anonymity. That's a hard word. Anonymity between buyer and seller. And StockX is in the middle, so you never have to deal with a random buyer or seller again. Anonymity.
It's totally anonymous between buyer and seller.
There you go. So you don't have to deal with any weird people. Yeah.
But
yeah, just that's a hard word to say.
Yeah.
I wish that they hadn't put that one in the script, but hey, what can you do?
Are they going to put rural in there next?
StockX has experts who verify every item, making sure everything you buy is 100% authentic, so you'll never get burned by fakes again. All you hype beasts out there listening, because I know there's a lot of them that listen to Super Megacast, this is the site where you can get that. Get those new Yeezys, get those new Supreme shirts.
Just
dope.
Yeah, you can do all that by just going to StockX.com/Megacast, okay? Yeah, make sure it's StockX.com/Megacast, because it helps us out.
Yeah, when you guys support the brands that support us, it helps support us. So yeah. StockX.com/Megacast. Now you know.
Yep, that's it.
I might go take a little water break.
Go take a little water break. I'll sit here.
Think of something to bring us back with.
Okay. You know, he's going to go get his water, but I'm going to keep this ball rolling. Like, I've been playing the new Spider-Man. I beat it. Now I'm doing all the side stuff. I want 100% it. Justin 100% it. Now I feel like it's a competition. But I have a lot of fun swinging around. You know, it reminds me of, like, when I grew up in New York City, and Matt came in as soon as I started lying again, so maybe that's a cue. I was about to tell people how I grew up in New York City, but
well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your lie.
No, it's fine.
Well, actually, the cops were here because it was ICE, and they were taking Ross back to Australia.
Whew,
that was another lie.
See, yeah,
this is all just lies.
My heart did skip for a little bit, but I'm like,
I just casually bring it in, like on the play, like, hey, dude, Ross just got deported.
It's like, oh, well, that sucks. Ross.
Ross.
Not me.
He gets to go back to Perth.
I'm a citizen, dude.
We're both citizens, man, because we were born here. We were born in the United States of A. So we get that. Do you remember a summer ago when Budweiser changed their name to America? So like what? Their beer was just called America for like a summer event?
America beer.
Do you remember that? Jackson brought that up to me this morning because we saw a Budweiser billboard and I just like completely forgot that they had done that.
Yeah, they did. There's actually some pretty nice looking cans.
What kind of marketing is that? Guys, we'll change our beer name to America.
Can beer cans change their designs? Why do they always look like it's just they're for grandpas?
Because I think grandpas drink a lot of beer.
If you think it just looks like the grandpa beverage of this generation.
I know.
Of every generation.
Craft beers and if you go to the grocery stores, a lot of creative bottles, a lot of creative cans. I do like creative
Coke,
ones.
Coke, that's a design. Just that red and that white.
Classic.
Like, seriously, I know it's so simple, but Coke really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, they got great branding. Whoever designed that logo, my hat is off to you.
They have a good font. They really did a good job.
My hat is off to you, Coca-Cola team.
Pepsi?
Pepsi, it's
I really think they have like their the whole blue red like circle they have. I'm like, what is that?
It's red, white, and blue.
I know it's Pepsi. I mean, the marketing did its job, but it's not as pleasing as when you see a red Coca-Cola.
It's true, and it doesn't make me think of cola the same way. However, I think Pepsi's old cans are much better. When it was that like epic font, it's like Pepsi.
Yeah,
you know. Now it's like the all lowercase, like Pepsi.
They should just switch it to like just Babus font.
Or just bold. Like, I'm gonna just Papyrus.
Okay, I mean, I could see it. If I were to make a beverage, I'd make it like
honestly. Pepsi Man, that game. I'd love to play it on Superman. I just know we're gonna suck at. Actually, you'd probably be pretty good at Pepsi Man. I'd like to see you try.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, I'll continue to like play and play, just like with Billy Hatcher, which honestly, looking back, is probably one of our best series.
I love Billy Hatcher.
You should
all
go check it out if you want to.
Sure, if you want to.
If you're looking for, if you're kind of new and looking for a Let's Play series, I personally would recommend Billy Hatcher.
If you're looking for an old one, yeah, go check it out.
Just has a good arc.
Also, Pepsi, when I edited the Pepsi Man playthrough for Game Grumps with Jimmy Wetzel and Ross, nothing made me want Pepsi more. Like, I went out and bought Pepsi that same day.
I don't like Pepsi.
Really?
I can only, like, I don't know what it is. I think it's the design, honestly, of their, like, branding. I don't like it. But, because, like, honestly, you put Pepsi in a glass cup, put some ice in it, you'll fool me in a heartbeat. Like, I'll be like, this is just some flat Coke or something.
I like them both, man. It just kind of depends. Like, here's the thing. I can't describe how they taste different, but, like,
there's a clear, like, difference.
But if you were given them side by side, do you think you'd be able to tell them apart?
I feel like I would. I feel like,
I think I could, too.
For some reason, the best way I can describe is Coke is a lot sharper.
Yeah, exactly. Pepsi's more, like, round.
Yeah.
And Coke is more like you're getting punched in the mouth, right in the kisser. Yeah. Pow, right in the kisser. I watched that Family Guy episode last night.
Dude, I can't wait for you to get to the one where they stop 9/11 and then have to cause 9/11 again.
That is such, Seth MacFarlane, you've outdone yourself with these plots, man. It's Stewie and Brian stop 9/11 and then realize they have to go do 9/11 again. That's fantastic. I'm sure all the people that, you know, survived 9/11 really liked that episode.
I mean, and all the people who didn't probably liked it as well.
I'm sure they did. And also, you know, Seth MacFarlane has the right to do that because he was going to be on that airplane.
Yeah, so he was every bit of a victim of the event.
There's going to be that poor one guy in the comments that actually was supposed to be on the plane. And, like, it's, like, very well known to his friends and family. But he's like, oh, Super Mega won't believe me now.
I know.
I'm not here to belittle anybody that was actually supposed to be on that plane. And it's very lucky that you missed the flight. And it's also unfortunate that you didn't almost end up on a flight with Seth MacFarlane. Because Seth MacFarlane, God, I would
he
pay anything
to meet him.
He'd
been singing Family Guy to calm everybody down.
Was Family Guy already out?
Everybody
at that
on the plane
was.
Would be singing the theme song as like one, you know, like the end of United 93 when they're all like,
that would be sad, man.
Hanging together.
Yes.
It's like, except if Seth MacFarlane was on the plane, they'd be singing Family Guy to like calm everyone's nerves.
Man,
it'd be like a chorus of that.
That would have been a moment in history.
It would have been. It would have been recorded on the black box.
United 93 is a good movie. It's very sad.
Very
it's by the guy
sad.
That directed Captain Phillips. He loves those movies with vehicles getting taken over.
Why are we talking about 9/11?
I don't know
so
where
much.
I'm going with this.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about 9/11
let's,
anymore. I'm
let's
not saying
the
like,
subject from 9/11.
I don't want to say like I don't want to give it its due diligence.
Rest in peace, everybody who died on 9/11. Very sad event. But let's talk about
something
fun
else.
Things.
Yeah,
it's not sad.
It's not 9/11 or AIDS or,
yeah,
you know.
Let's lie some more.
Okay.
Tell some more lies.
Okay. Lies make everything better.
Let's play
make everything.
Two truths and a lie.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. Let's
do play
it.
Two truths and a lie?
Let's do it. Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
You
this game first? Is so hard because I can never think of anything.
Oh,
getting a phone call. Who is it?
It's from 80. It's from South Carolina.
Answer it. Just answer it, Ryan.
Hello?
Hey, this is Tammy calling about your federal student loan. I see on your
phone. I don't have a student loan.
I know.
Tammy?
I get those calls too, and it's like this is about your student loan application. Like, I'm not in school.
I'm sorry. I never had student loans.
I didn't either.
I didn't have enough time in college to really
rack up some debt.
Rack up
some I only debt. Went for 1 year, so my parents were like, thank God you left because we were out of money by the end of your freshman year.
Okay, so two truths and a lie. I'm going to have to cut this one up because, you know, I don't want to, like, think about it because then it's going to be obvious what the truth and lies are, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, ready?
Yes.
I had a pet turtle when I was a kid.
Okay.
Jackson spilled coffee in my car today.
Okay.
And I saw a UFO once.
UFO's a lie.
Wait, I just said three truths. I'm sorry, I just said three truths. I don't know.
Okay.
I messed
up. You
saw
a UFO?
I fucked up. I've seen multiple things that I...
That you personally found to be
yes.
unidentified,
yes.
But probably were identified to someone else.
Possibly, yeah.
In like the airfield or something.
I have seen weird shit in the sky before. Like that, actually recently when
did
I was-
Did you wave hello?
I was in, I have, they, no response, but oh, well. I did take a video of it on my phone. It's weird. It's not very good quality on my phone, but it was like a big metallic, like silver tall cylinder. Yeah. And it was just sitting still in the sky. It wasn't moving. And it had like bright neon blue and red alternating lights. And it just was sitting still.
God, you know aliens are all about them theatrics.
They are, man. They're just like, boop, boop. Look, the humans love this stuff. They love the lights.
I know. It's like...
Watch, I'm going to dangle some keys out the window.
Yep. It's like their version of dangling keys to like a dog.
And now I'm thinking about something else I saw when I was a kid that very easily could have just been a helicopter. It was like... It kind of looked like a pentagon-shaped thing with lights on all sides. And it was sitting still, just slowly lowering down below the tree line. Mm-hmm. And that was probably... Could have just been a helicopter landing. Probably was just a helicopter landing.
Okay.
I was probably just drunk as a kid. You
yeah,
know?
That's perfectly fine.
It happens, man. Have you ever seen a UFO? Oh, wait. Do your two truths and a lie.
Oh, shit.
And
okay.
Then we'll get into the UFO stuff.
Okay. Okay.
Let's hear it.
I used to go fishing at 4 in the morning with a man named Captain Jack. I had a movie theater party when I was young, where we rented out the whole movie theater and we could just go into each cinema and play video games and watch movies and do whatever we wanted. And in church, I accidentally set a flame to the altar while I was acolyting.
This one's pretty hard. I know one of the truths is the movie theater thing, because mm-hmm. I remember you told me that. So okay. Now it's down to these two. See, this Captain Jack fishing shit just seems so, what the hell? But also, I feel like if you would set the church on fire... You would have told me this.
Just the altar. Just like the cloth.
Fuck,
the altar.
This is hard, man. Because I feel like you've talked about your acolyte days so much that this would have clearly have been a story. I think that's the lie.
It is the lie.
So you went fishing at 4 a.m. with...
When I was young, my dad used to take me out on this boat with this man named Captain Jack. And we used to... at like 4 a.m. and we used to fish for just catfish and bass, and we'd bring them home, and my dad would make fish sticks. And
well, first of all, it's pronounced bass, and second of all, what, Captain Jack? How'd your dad know this Captain Jack guy?
Because my dad used to manage an inn. And so Captain Jack would stay at this inn and he brought his boat. And one time he invited my dad to go fishing with him. And he brought me along. So every now and then I'd like be woken up when the sky was still like dark kind of. And I'm like, why am I up? It's still nighttime. But my dad would just, we gotta get ready. Come on, Captain Jack. She's expecting we gotta go fish with Captain Jack.
He's actually just like forcing your dad at gunpoint. Like, you're going fish with me today and bring that boy. Bring that boy yours. We're going to go catch some fish.
Now, Ryan, stick your whole fist in this catfish's mouth.
I want to take a picture. Oh, man. Before I get into the UFO things, when I used to go fishing as a kid, you know, I hated when you had to hold up the fish for the picture.
Tell by your face, you're not really enjoying remembering this.
I'm not, because you had to hold up the fish. And I remember my dad's like, you got to hold it right. You got to stick your fingers in the gills. And like that always just, ugh.
Well, I hated because the fish, I always thought they would be easy to hold onto, but they thrash.
They think they're dying, dude. They're out of the water and they're being held by some massive beast. And in their mind, they're dead. They're like, I'm this is it. So they want to get
they're
away.
They're just like,
you know, like imagine if all terrified. Of a sudden, like imagine you're on a boat and like a 600-foot octopus grabs you and pulls you underwater and then just holding you in its tentacles while there's like flashes going in your face. You think you're going to die, right? You're going to try to get away.
Oh, yeah.
Same shit. And then you always throw the fish back or save them and kill them and eat them.
Yeah, we used to throw some of them back, but we'd eat a good bit.
I used to go crabbing, and I would throw most of them back. Supposed to throw the females back?
I think we threw all of them back. I used to go crabbing in Sunset Beach. I think they don't allow you to go back in those dune areas anymore, but I hate one of the worst feelings I still, just to this day, I hated. When you're going through the marsh area and there's this big puddle and you have to walk through it and you're like, I don't want to step on a crab.
I hate it, dude. When you step on a like the blue crabs, like the big ones that you eat at restaurants,
they'll perk right up.
They don't run away.
No.
Like they'll like make
they'll chase
sure,
after you.
They'll chase you and they'll pinch you. I've never been pinched
by
one.
The balls on a crab.
They're huge. They drag behind it.
They do.
It's insane, dude. Like those things just they're fearless. And I'm like, you're small. Why are you so fearless? I could just step on you. Same like little dogs.
Why
you know?
Didn't we though? Like, There's something like that.
We're not cold-blooded killers, right? We're not going to kill one of God's beautiful creatures.
Yeah, but that is something, right? We've evolved to the point to where we're like, ah, oh, I can kill this thing, but I'm going to be merciful and not, so I'm going to teeter around and be scared of it instead. Instead of just like, crushing it under the heel of my boot.
Because, you know, like, in nature, you would think that, like, the crab would be seen as like, oh, it's coming at me. It's trying to harm me. I'm going to just kill it. But yeah, we're like, no, just... let him be mad. Let him do his thing.
Don't pinch me.
Yeah, I fucking hate crabs. I mean, they're cool, but they just...
used to step on them in the ocean, and then, like, there's this one time where, like, I stepped on one, and I, like, swam away and put my feet back down. It was chasing after me underwater.
Yeah, dude, they hold grudges. They get pissed off.
Yeah, so I was just so like, stupid. Why are crabs so mad? They're legitimately angry, right?
Just fucking, yeah.
They get, like, torqued up.
They need to just, like, chill out and smoke a J and just, like, relax. Jesus Christ, I need to put on a little Damian Marley.
Dude, there's the fucking thumbnail. It's going to be you and I as crabs smoking a blunt.
That's genius. Or...
except it's going to be a quote-unquote cigarette, like a personal rolled tobacco.
Just, we'll blur out the joint.
Yeah.
How about you're running through the ocean screaming, and then I'm a crab, and I'm smoking a J.
Okay.
Genius. There it is.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Crabs are mad, though. And there's the name of the podcast, Crabs Are Mad.
Mad Crabs.
Mad Crabs, dude! People are going to click it because they're going to think it's about like
sexually transmitted disease.
But we're actually, believe it or not, we're talking about.
That's easy to get rid of.
No, we've talked about this before. Yeah. If you got crabs, it's like, just shave.
No sweat when you got crabs.
Literally, it's like, why would you lose any sleep over crabs? It's like, I'm going to shave. Like,
oh shit, didn't mean to get this. Luckily, it's not anything else.
Maybe you should consider who you've been sleeping with, but it's not a big deal.
You should always consider who you sleep with.
And always use protection, guys. I'll spread that message. Use that sack. Use that rubber. Don't test your cards, guys. Don't test your luck.
Use that latex cauldron.
Use that latex soup bag, guys. Back to UFOs, though. Picking it back up. Have you ever seen an unidentified flying object? What you think? Like, it could have been something. It could have been not that. But to you, at least, you were like, what the hell is that?
There was one thing that I saw that, like, I can't explain, but I'm in my head, I'm like, memories change a lot, and maybe, you know, because there was this one time when I was a kid, I thought I saw a three-armed man, but that's another story.
Okay, well, you gotta tell that next. You gotta tell that next.
Okay, but, like, there's this one thing I saw, it did this, it was going horizontal, and then it quickly shifted up vertically, and then went back horizontal, but maybe it was a slight shift, it was, like, not a slant, it was, like, a... like, up.
But that's very characteristic of, like, UFO reports, is, like, they can just, like, change direction instantly.
So, I mean, as I said, memories change, and I myself don't think I saw a UFO. I think that there's a lot of factors, and I know none of those are probably it, but there's a lot of factors that play into where I don't necessarily am like, that was a fucking alien.
Every time I see, nowadays, I keep thinking I'm seeing UFOs, like, whoa! And then I realize it's just someone flying a drone. Drones look like UFOs.
Yeah.
For sure. You see a drone, you're like, what the f... Oh, it's just a... Because the way they, like, they can just, like, stop and change directions, I'm like, what the hell?
Dude, I used to think that, like, I saw... when I was a kid, I thought I saw a pterodactyl, and I was like, what? they're those birds that, like, have those tails with those diamonds on the end of them that you see flying every now and then. Let me see if I can... I don't know what I'm talking about. Let me see.
Did it scare you?
I don't know. It just looked like a pterodactyl from below. Bird.
God, thank God looks... pterodactyls are extinct. Right?
Fuck them.
How fucking terrifying would it be just, like, minding your own business one day and, like, a huge pterodactyl just... because they will kill you. They'll swoop down and grab you and kill you and rip you apart. Like...
oh, it's not their tail.
It's the head?
No, it's, like, these things if you see them up.
Oh, yeah. An egret.
Yeah.
Or a stork.
So if you see them up, like, it kind of has the beaks long and all that.
Honestly, pterodactyls are, I think... the scariest of all the dinosaurs. They're just unsettling looking too, with the heads and like the...
and fuck whoever decided to, you know, spell pterodactyl.
Why did they choose to do that? That it's like,
that's gonna fuck me up for the rest of my life.
Pterodactyl.
Unless I commit 10 minutes to just writing it out.
Yeah, or just maybe like once every 3 days for a week.
Yeah,
you know,
or doing that whole thing where you do a word like, Wednesday. Just do pteriodactyl.
I don't know how to spell it. Well, the thing is, I still do the Wednesday. Every time I write out the word Wednesday, I write out Wednesday.
Same with February.
Me too. And tomorrow I write Tom or Roe to remember like where the... there's other ones I do. What else is there? Shit. That's funny. Do you do the same thing with like tomorrow and February?
Not tomorrow, but February, yeah.
I still do Tom or Roach just because I remember one girl said it to me in school. And I was like, that's, yeah. It stuck with me ever since.
She's your soulmate.
I got to find her. I don't remember which one of my schoolmates this was, but fuck. Gotta remember.
Should put an ad out on Craigslist.
Should.
Was it Miss Connections or something?
Yeah, on Miss Connections.
Do people actually find each other on Miss Connections?
I have heard stories about it. On someone finding the love of their life on Miss Connection.
Who decides to, like, who looks at that? It's like, hey, I saw you on a plane. Is it, like, those who felt like they had a moment, and then it's like, maybe they know about Craigslist and are into this community, and they posted?
That's true, because, like, do you know anyone that looks at Miss Connections?
No.
Yeah, so it's like, if you post it on Miss Connections, what are the odds that person's also gonna? I mean, I guess they're just so desperate they're willing to try anything. Yeah. Just get the word out. I actually saw, no joke, in L.A. once, I saw someone putting up posters for someone that they had a Miss Connection with. They were like, person, like, I saw you with the store, blah, blah, blah. And I can't tell. I think that's creepy, honestly. Because, like, you know, a romance movie would portray that as, like, oh, like, that's so sweet. But in real life, it's like, that's a little creepy, you know? That's a little bit creepy.
I don't think I'd be too flattered by that if it happened to me.
I think if I saw myself on a poster for like a misconnection, like if someone, it's one thing to make like a post online, but it's another thing to like make posters and put them up. I think I'd be like, I don't know if I want to be with this person. That's a little obsessive.
Might have worked in like the 50s, 60s maybe, you know, 70s.
Like, oh, wow, that's so cute. But now it's like, that's, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Ow, fuck!
What happened?
I was playing with my belt buckle and my finger slipped and the metal part of my belt that goes through the belt loop or the hole in my belt just jammed right underneath my fingernail. Well, not fun.
Well, that's the Barry Manilow curse.
That shit fucking
thank you.
It's the Barry Manilow curse, guys. Ever jam your belt piece under your fingernail? That's how Barry Manilow lost all of his fingers.
Yeah.
You know I lost all my fingers.
Is that Seth MacFarlane?
It sounds like Seth MacFarlane. Yeah, every time I listen to Seth MacFarlane's Lounge Jazz album, and it was actually really good, except I just hear Brian Griffin singing, because his voice is just Brian Griffin's voice.
I love this era of Matt, of watching Family Guy and listening to Seth MacFarlane's, like, jazz album.
I'm not gonna lie, dude.
It's such a good era. And I don't judge you for it, but it's just an interesting time in your life.
So, like, Family Guy has kind of become, like, a comfort food for me. I'm serious. Like, you know when you sit down, like, with some comfort food, you know that feeling you get?
Yeah.
I get that feeling when I get on the couch and I put on Family Guy.
See, when I watch Family Guy, it's, like, after you've eaten that comfort food and you're like, man, I probably shouldn't have eaten all that. Like, I get that feeling of, like, oh.
When I see the exterior, I know. But
I wasn't prepared for this. It looked good at the beginning, but now I'm just like, ooh.
I'm the opposite. When the episode ends, I'm like, it's already done? Wow, just one more.
Whoa,
I'm serious. I'm serious with Family Guy.
Already? I was just getting into it.
I remember last night, Frank Javsey was over, and we're watching some Family Guy, and I was like, all right, one more, and then I'm going to go to bed. And Frank's like, okay. And when it ends, and I was like, yeah, one more. And then another one started after that, and then I was like, okay, now I got to go. Actually, Frank was the one that was like, I need to leave. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry. But... you know, when I see the exterior of the Griffin household on Spooner Street in Quahog, Rhode Island, and I hear that, like, sting play, you know? Like, I feel comfort. I mean, it shows the interior of the house, and it's usually like a shot of the couch that where, you know, you can see the front door in the background, and Peter usually will be sitting on the couch watching TV, and I'll be like, we now return to, and then some offensive joke. Those jokes did not age well on that show. Not at all. I'm in 2005 right now.
You're loving it. It seems to be you're loving it.
It's like watching a train wreck, but also finding comfort in it. I don't know. It's like you know those people that love watching car crashes. It's like
I do that all the time
without the sexual stimuli. It's like it's very nice watching Family Guy. In fact, it gets hearty laughs out of me at least once an episode.
That's good.
There's some episodes
as long as it makes you happy. I support whatever you do, Matt. But
I've been enjoying Family Guy.
Of course. Yeah, you've been on this for weeks now.
One of those things started ironically watching Family Guy, and I've really found myself.
You don't have to defend yourself, you know. People know. This has been discussed in like
I know. I don't need to defend myself. I've just been watching Family Guy, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. You just have a good time watching Family Guy, listening to Seth MacFarlane's jazz album.
Well, the Seth MacFarlane jazz album was more because I was curious as to what I was like, because I know he does serious music.
Does he have a Christmas album?
He does.
You're going to put that on during Christmas. I know. I'm going to come over to your place and Seth MacFarlane.
I'll have the vinyl.
Let it snow, let it snow,
let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It's just Brian Griffin singing. Like, if you shut your eyes, you can just see Brian Griffin singing. And they did a Family Guy
and
episode.
Peter comes in and goes, I finally queefed tonight.
See, that's it. That's Family Guy.
It is Family Guy.
There have been some jokes, though, some bits that just were so bad. And then, like, me and Jackson Harrison were like, that. We just instantly think of a better ending. Like, there was a bit where Peter did ecstasy. And Peter's, you know, he's on the couch and he's touching everybody going, oh, wow. Oh, you're so nice. And that was the whole bit. Just did it for like too long and it ended. But it would have been funnier. That's what Jackson said. If he touched everyone in the family like he was doing, but then he goes up to Meg and then doesn't do it to Meg. End of the bit.
That would have been, it still does the joke.
Exactly. But it shows that they all hate Meg so much. Even when Peter's on ecstasy, he's not willing to touch her.
I think the first time I laughed at Family Guy, oh man, good times, was when they all started violently vomiting.
I hate that bit. It's not
of
because
course
I a,
you would.
It's not because I have emetophobia. It's just because it's dumb. All the ones I realized.
When I was young, I was just laughing because it's just like just a bunch of, they're just miserable. And
it
I
just
like
goes the, on for so long.
I like the idea of like doing this like fucking fun thing that you're going to like do with your friends. And all of a sudden it just turns into like this fucking god-awful miserable experience.
Is that the one where they drink Ipecac?
Yeah. And then they all just vomit on each other. And then Stewie pulls on the ears of Brian and vomits on his face.
Fantastic.
Some good
man.
Shit.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I noticed they do a lot
have
of
you gotten to that episode
a,
yet?
Not yet. But maybe. I have gotten to one of the... No, I have, yeah. Okay, they do it several times in the show, though. The vomiting gag.
Oh, wow.
It's a recurring thing. They also...
Well, because they just go...
And it's
such... It's, like, very violent.
Yeah, and they do so many bits on Family Guy, especially as the show progresses, you can really see it, where they're trying to buy time.
Have they ever gone too far with Herbert?
Actually, the episode I watched last night was the episode where Herbert sings the song to Chris, mm-hmm. Where it's like the music video of him as an old woman, and they're married and have kids. So that was the I just watched that one.
I just you let me in on if there's any jokes from Herbert or any bits from Herbert that haven't aged too well or might have been a little
like 90% of Family Guy is not aged too well. Much like probably early Super Mega, the jokes have not aged well. Let's see.
Yeah,
Family
but we're not a. A fucking TV show running yeah. on cable network that has what just a lot of fucking writers and
yeah, we're just
and artists and stuff. We have one artist.
We're a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old making Let's Plays on our couch. So, yeah. but now we're 22 and 24. Give me a high five. No, 19 and 21 is what we were, even
yeah.
younger. Damn,
yeah, damn.
You're 21. When we started Super Mega.
I was, I think. Yeah, yeah.
I was
yeah.
19. I'm 22.
I
now.
Must have been 21.
Damn, dude.
You started in April of 2016.
That's true. Yeah. I had just turned. No, I just turned 20. Okay, so 20 and 20.
Sometimes you're a year. You're just a year behind me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm 24. You're going to be 23 in February.
Yeah. You guys enjoying this math we're doing right now, trying to figure out our ages?
We did it.
We did it. Thank you. But also, what was I saying about Family Guy? Oh, yeah.
How funny it was?
That, but so many of the jokes are just like, I'll watch it and it's like, ooh, it's a lot of them. They do a lot of rape jokes. They're really keen on the rape jokes in season 4. They really love that.
We talked about it with Ding Dong and Julian of how there's this whole bit of Quagmire raping Marge.
Yeah, like Family Guy just loves the rape jokes. It's really weird how much they do them. And also they do their big thing is the race jokes and the rape jokes. They love them.
Well, you know, if you're like Seth MacFarlane and never realistically have to worry about rape, I could really perceive
or race.
Yeah.
you we disagree on one thing. You think the tier is American Dad, Cleveland Show Family.
No,
guy, right?
no, that was a joke.
Oh, okay.
No,
no. Okay, thank God.
No, Cleveland Show is at the bottom. But
okay, good.
But I do find myself when I put on American Dad enjoying it more than Family Guy.
See,
I think more so that it's a breath of fresh air because I've seen way too much of Family Guy that it's like kind of like the same thing. I mean, American Dad, there are a lot of really stupid bits, and it's not like...
It's more story-based than reference-based, right?
Yeah.
But also, like, okay, I don't know. I used to think American Dad was better, but because I haven't seen it so long, and I've just been having such a blast watching Family Guy, I think Family Guy is my top right now.
They're all of the same ilk, though. It's not like they're, like, a different... It's not like one's The Simpsons and one's South Park. It's like they're both.
It's a family. They have an anthropomorphic character that's not a human. Yeah, it's pretty... There's a son and a daughter. It's like this Cleveland Show is the same. There's an anthropomorphic bear.
Yeah.
It's like Seth MacFarlane just like, it's like he has a format for his show and he just like control C, control V twice.
Yeah.
Made one of them like a patriotic film, made one a black family. And then he's like, there's all my shows. Boom.
I wonder if there's going to be any more.
I hope so. Seth MacFarlane should do a Netflix show.
I still think Futurama's top tier.
Oh, for cartoons?
Yeah.
Definitely.
For like adult cartoons or whatever.
Yeah, Futurama, always classic. Futurama's great.
Like Futurama's a show where I can always go to it and just watch an episode. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I ever laugh out loud.
You sounded like Joe Swanson for a second. I'm
I know, because I
sounded like Joe Swanson, because I'm on Family Guy right now.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit. But
bitter.
But I don't find myself ever laughing out loud to anything in Futurama. I just find it entertaining.
Yeah, and Family Guy, I do laugh out loud. Bits.
There's a lot of clever stuff in Futurama too.
It's entertaining. Family Guy, I'll have a very hard laugh at one of the jokes. The rest of the jokes, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
But that one laugh is worth it.
I like BoJack Horseman.
I've only seen like two episodes of it.
Season 5 just came out. I got to see it because I've seen everything. So, I mean, I enjoy it. It's fine. When I mean fine, I mean it's honestly one of the better adult cartoons that have come out. I mean, Rick and Morty's a good quality show.
Wait. What? Is this a grenade?
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.